couple of days ago, Dan Cochran sent me an email with a link to an article from Decision Magazine. That's the magazine that's put out by the Billy Graham Organization. And I could see that it would be a good introduction to today's message. And I'm going to read from parts of it. A new study commissioned by Ligonier Ministries in connection with Lifeway Research suggests troubling inconsistencies in the beliefs of many self-described evangelicals regarding the Bible, other religions, God's nature, and human nature. The study last January queried 3,001 American evangelicals in a demographically balanced group. Evangelical was defined as those who profess the Bible is the highest authority for what I believe. It is very important for me personally to encourage non-Christians to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. Jesus Christ's death on the cross is the only sacrifice that could remove the penalty of my sin. And only those who trust in Jesus Christ alone as their Savior receive God's free gift of eternal salvation. If you could say yes to all of those, you are self-identifying as an evangelical in this study. Despite those criteria, a majority struggle to apply key doctrines about the fall of Adam and its effect on human beings' moral state to survey questions. The study reports that 64% of evangelicals responding affirm the statement that everyone is born innocent in the eyes of God, and 53% affirm that everyone sins a little, but most people are good by nature. Perhaps more astonishing, 53% agreed with the statement, the Holy Spirit is a force, but not a personal being. I find that amazing. 53%? Holy Spirit's a force? And not. Regarding what the Bible teaches about worshiping the God of Scripture, 47% agreed that, quote, God accepts the worship of all religions, including Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. Unquote. Moreover, 35% strongly agreed with the statement. Yet, quote, the Bible consistently teaches that true worship must be directed to the one true God as he has revealed himself in Jesus Christ, and that false worship is unacceptable to him. And there's two verses mentioned, actually one of which is in 1 John, and we're going to get to it next week. On other such questions, 61% believe that Christians are obligated to join a church community. Perhaps surprising, considering other survey questions, 65% of evangelicals agreed a decade following nationwide legalization of gay marriage that, quote, God created marriage to be between one man and woman. The downside is that sizable percentage of professing evangelicals did not affirm the Bible's exclusive view of marriage. The 2025 State of Theology survey makes clear that many evangelical churches and individuals lack a firm grasp of the essential Christian faith revealed in Scripture, the study concluded. Quote, the solution to the state of affairs is what it has always been, God's plan for Christian growth and discipleship within the context of doctrinally sound local churches. As biblically qualified pastors lead God's people in worship and the accurate exposition of God's word on a regular basis, healthy growth among believers will take place as the Holy Spirit causes the word to bear much fruit. And that's the end of the article. So here we've always been trying to serve good meat here so that people will really develop in the faith and not just learn things that help them get through life. There's more to life than getting through life. It just so happens that the study came out not long before we start this sermon series. True Christianity, the letters of John. These three letters by John can be viewed as an introduction to the theology of the New Testament. In other words, understanding this is a good jump-off point to understanding what the theology covered in the rest of the New Testament. There are three major points. Grabbing a hold of these three will provide a good foundation for other concepts in the New Testament, which the study indicates that many people don't grasp. 1 John is the major piece, and we will spend several Sundays on it. But first, by way of introduction to the series, we will cover 2 John and 3 John, the shortest books in the New Testament. The New Testament order of these three letters was probably by length, and 2 John and 3 John tend to get lost in the shadow of 1 John and are wrongfully considered unimportant. Has anyone here ever heard a sermon on 2 John or 3 John? All right. I can't raise my hand. I never have either. It's like they're just ignored. So, like, we're breaking new ground here. And let me tell you, and, you know, sometimes your preachers say, they'll preach. Well, these don't preach very well. That may be one of the reasons you don't hear much. Okay. Let us begin with 2 John. The three major characteristics of a Christian in these letters are, 1, right belief, 2, right living, and 3, love. Actually, love has to be part of right belief, and love has to be part of right living, but it gets a special shout out to a great extent in these three epistles of John. Later on, we will devote an entire sermon to each of these as they are covered in 1 John. But here in 2 John, we see what could be considered an introduction to all three characteristics in the first 6 verses. Here's the first 3. Nope. Back up. All right, here we go. The elder to the elect lady and her Christian and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth that abides in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, in truth and love. The elect lady here is probably a local church that this letter was written to. The reason I say that is the word you in this letter, in this epistle, is frequently in plural form in the Greek. If he was writing to just an individual, that doesn't make sense by using a plural form of you. Also, it's the last verse also supports this view. The children of your elect sister greet you. The elect sister is probably a sister church, and the children would be the people in the congregation of that church. So understanding that helps to sort this letter through. This just wasn't written to an anonymous woman. It was written to a church, apparently. The word truth appears 4 times in the first 3 verses. The author John loves the local church in truth, he says. This love is not an inauthentic show of affection for appearance's sake, but is a genuine love, being completely in truth and not just to advance an agenda. Some people put on the appearance of love because they got something they got an agenda they're trying to pursue. It happened then, it happens now. It also means a love that is revealed in the Christian message, the gospel. A slogan we used at a previous Vineyard church plant was, "Come as you are, you'll be loved." Anybody ever hear that one? Come as you are, you'll be loved. That's still true here, although we don't say it. We say that anyone with a soul is welcome here. Same thing. But in this day and age, I would add to come as you are, you'll be loved. I would add, and God loves you too much to leave you the way you are. That's called sanctification that Luke talked about a few weeks ago. To love someone in truth means to love them in the manner described in God's Word, the Bible. Okay, there was an incident at the Naperville Vineyard about this slogan, which is where it was used. We had done a worship set on the river walk, just to, you know, be able to talk to people and stuff. And there was a guy there who, it was summer, who was dressed only in a little loincloth. And one of our group talked to him and invited him to a service. And so he came the next Sunday almost naked. All he had was a little loincloth. And so we didn't want to just say, no. We were kidding about come as you are, you'll be loved. It's like he took that super seriously, literally. But we had the ushers, you know, just kind of shielding him from, so it wouldn't be too upsetting to people. But to really love people doesn't mean you just leave them like that and accept whatever they think or however they behave that's not part of love necessarily. Sometimes you start by loving them the way they are, but then you try to move them to a better way of life. To love someone in truth means to love them in the manner described in God's Word. Knowing and accepting the Christian message is to know the truth. Even more so, it means accepting and receiving Jesus Christ, who describes himself as the truth. That makes the second verse we talked about possible. Because of the truth that abides in us and will be with us forever. That's both the truth of the gospel and Jesus Christ himself, the truth abiding in us and being with us forever. The truth about Jesus and receiving Jesus himself is the truth that stays with us throughout eternal life. All right, continuing on. I rejoice greatly to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as we were commanded by the Father. And now I ask you, dear lady, not as though I were writing you a new commandment, but the one we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, so that you should walk in it. We've talked about right belief and love already, although just briefly. Here we add the third characteristic, right living, that is, obedience to the Word of God. Walking in the truth means living it out in our daily lives. The Bible describes what real love looks like, and we need to live that out and not just talk about it or redefine what love actually means. A lot of definitions of love floating around now. We should not redefine what it means, but rather grasp what's described in the revelation contained in the Scriptures. The specific command to walk here, to walk by here, is to love one another. There was a song released 60 years ago, "What the World Needs Now is Love." Ever hear that one? What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. That was mostly true in the turmoil of the 60s. And it's mostly true in the turmoil of the present. You can see what's going on. A significant lack of love in our society. You see it more and more. That's how it looks. The reason I say mostly is because right belief and right living is missing. We need to walk in God's commandment, which is further explained in 1 John 3:23. We need this now to walk properly. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he has commanded us. Those are the two keys. Believe in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and loving one another. Those are critical. The keys here are right belief, right living, and love. But this message was distorted by deceivers. And John takes that up next. For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Such a one is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch yourselves, so that you may not lose what we have worked for, but may win a full reward. Many deceivers. He says, watch yourself. In other words, don't be deceived. Here, this specific deception is some form of denial of the incarnation, which is serious. John labels the deceivers as the Antichrist. Serious language. Whatever this term means elsewhere in the New Testament, here it characterizes deceivers who are opposed to the doctrine of Christ, even if they protest and say they are still Christians. Who Jesus is and what he accomplished are still subject to deception today. Those that allow themselves to be deceived are risking their heavenly reward. Now, possibly just part of it, but perhaps all of it. Because these are serious deceivers, called as Antichrist. In any case, the least to win the full reward is don't be deceived and don't participate in this deception. All right, continuing on. Everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house or give him any greeting, for whoever greets him takes part in his wicked works. An analysis of verse 9, using the laws of logic, it could be reworded to put it in good form. If someone does not abide in the teaching of Christ, that person does not have God. If someone does not abide in the teaching of Christ, that person does not have God. Even if he says he does. A logically equivalent statement is, if someone has God, then that person will abide in the teaching of Christ. One follows the other. Furthermore, if you abide in the teaching, then you have both the Father and the Son. Verses 10 and 11 instruct us not even to be hospitable to these deceivers. That's how serious this is. And then John closes the letter. Though I have much to write to you, I would rather not use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to come to you and talk face to face so that our joy may be complete. The children of your elect sister greet you. All right, now to 3 John. This letter is written to an individual. First couple of verses. The elder to the beloved Gaius, who I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. This is a good prayer for anyone who is walking in the truth. Even as their soul is prospering, may their physical health also prosper. We certainly pray for that around here. Continuing on. For I rejoiced greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth, as indeed you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Here John sounds like an awesome pastor. His greatest joy is to help other people to know the truth and live by it. Then he commends Gaius for his hospitality to Christian missionaries. Beloved, it is a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are, who testified to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God, for they have gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support people like these, that we may be fellow workers for the truth. We ought to do this, which makes us fellow workers for the truth, by showing hospitality to these Christians who went out in Jesus' name, we'll call them missionaries. By showing them hospitality, they become fellow workers. Trinity Vineyard has done this recently, remotely, in Kenya. You all donated over $40,000 to provide meals and in some cases transportation and lodging for pastors in Kenya to be able to attend one of our 5 conferences on the kingdom of God. I'll consider that hospitality at a distance. These people don't have a lot of money, and we made it possible for them to come to a conference and hopefully be positively affected, bear fruit in their own lives and in the lives of their congregation. That was made possible because of hospitality remotely from a church in St. Charles, Illinois, across the planet into Kenya. Hospitality at a distance. So I congratulate you. According to verse 8, that makes us fellow workers for the truth. That we may be fellow workers for the truth. Continuing on. I have written something to the church, but Diotrephes, who likes to put himself first, does not acknowledge our authority. So if I come, I will bring up what he is doing, talking wicked nonsense against us. And not content with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers and also stops those who want to and puts them out of the church. All right, here's a troublemaker. He does at least four things. One, he opposes the apostles' authority. Number two, he talks nonsense against him and his colleagues. Number three, he refuses to welcome traveling missionaries. And number four, he prevents others from welcoming them and takes punitive action. He puts them out of the church. If John comes to the church, he will handle this himself. We need to keep moving here. Beloved, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. Whoever does good is from God. Whoever does evil has not seen God. Do not imitate evil, but instead imitate good. This has political implications for today. There's quotes like, they did it, so we will also. Another one I've seen is, fight fire with fire, where the fire is considered evil. They're doing this evil thing, so we're going to do it too. We're going to fight it. We're going to fight evil with evil. That's imitating evil. If you do good, then you are from God, on the side of God, drawing strength from God to do good. If you do evil, then you have not even seen God. There's an absence of true Christian experience. Demetrius is held as an example of doing good in this way, and John closes the letter. Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself. We also add our testimony, and you know that our testimony is true. I had much to write to you, but I would rather not write with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we'll talk face to face. Peace be to you. The friends greet you. Greet the friends, each by name. Okay. Two action items here. The first one, we should all seek to grow in right belief, right living, and love. All three of those. So we're going to spend the next 3 weeks covering those three. And it's, you can't just depend on that, though. I mean, we need to do this on our own to seek to grab a hold of right belief and not any of the strange things that they're not just floating around now. They've always floated around. Right from the beginning, weird things were floating around. Some of the issues are different now. Some are surprisingly the same, but many of them are different now. And we just stand clear. Even if people say, "Oh, I got to have a deeper knowledge here. I know it's really true." It's like, well, we'll see about that. Grab a hold of right belief. And don't be deceived. And when you talk to someone who is deceived, realize that it's the nature of deception to not know you're deceived. So they don't know they're deceived. The moment you realize you're deceived, you are no longer deceived. No one can ever say, "I am deceived." It can only say, "I was deceived." And grow in right living. Authentic Christian living. Just think of lots of people lived according to what the Bible describes as right living. This would be a great place. It would be great. But we are enmeshed in the present evil age, and so the presence of evil is going to be with us until Jesus comes again. But we need to set the standard and provide an example for right living, even in the present evil age. And then love. And there's more explanation coming on that. The second action item for us is a point I didn't spend much time on. We ought to imitate good and not evil. Evil is not a good excuse to do evil. It's not. There's other verses that that would say that. But we should be imitating good rather than imitating evil, and overcoming evil with good as far as that is possible. And if you get smashed in some fashion because you do that, you'll have a good reward in heaven. If you're persecuted on account of Jesus. Blessed are you when they persecute you, utter all kinds of evil against you, falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for so they persecute the prophets who are before you. And rejoice that your reward is great in heaven. It's actually a good deal. So those are the two action items. Seek to grow in right belief, right living, and love. And we ought to aim at imitating good and not evil. Please rise. Lord, we really want to believe the way we ought to believe. First of all, putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, believing in Him with every fiber of our being. And then right living, living it out in the power of the Holy Spirit, always depending on grace, always standing in faith, not being hard on ourselves when we blow it, but at least aiming to live right before you and depending on grace to fill in the gaps. And then love. Love is so important, Lord. Your love of us resulted in us being rescued. Love, the greatest motivation in the world, and the greatest motivation the world will ever see. And then, Lord, pray that you would guide us and empower us to imitate good and not imitate evil. Well, come, Holy Spirit, and fill our hearts to believe